the great events of the last few decades and their implications. Of course, if they cast a careful look at world affairs, they can see on international levels and even at the United Nations organization itself, resorting to religion and faith and also resorting to religious leaders and asking for their help in settling some part of some predicaments besetting the world, this is quite obvious. They can see for themselves. But invitation to participation and to the presence of religion and religious leaders to help solve problems of mankind, this is only in the form of using as a tool, as a means, and this should be a real participation and an effective one in nature instead. At any rate, what's being discussed by people around the world is talks on justice and progress. The ones who are addressed by this notion on national level of countries is actually we, the governments, and on international levels, it's the effective powers in mechanisms and in international decision-making processes. Those who are addressed by this concept, if they do not take due heed of this concept, we think that our world will definitely face serious problems. It is natural that in a democratic system, law has mechanisms related to the election process, the holding of the election, and also looking into complaints and irregularities or any kind of shortcomings. The law determines all this. And it is these mechanisms and laws and regulations that guarantee freedom and the democratic nature, as well as the comprehensiveness of an election, which ultimately guarantees the healthiness and soundness of an election. Always, there might be some complaints regarding elections, and the organs in charge are obliged to look into those shortcomings and complaints and respond. This is what we have been doing very well in the last 30 years, and we do believe in any other country, through legal means, this should be done. Complaints should be looked into in legal ways. At the same time, we all believe that terrorist groups and those who organize riots in various countries, they find tumultuous atmosphere the best chance to the benefit of advancing their treacherous objectives. I should tell the respected ambassadors here that the claims made in connection with a great epic made by the Iranian nation, in which there was a very high turnout, which is meaningful, their turnout in the 10th presidential election, too, like any other election, the organs in charge have dealt with that, and they're looking into the complaints, and at the end of the week, when the investigations come to an end, the results will be announced regarding the latest election. It is quite natural and logical that we do according the law and do what is required by law.
با
تمکین همه جانبه به ضوابط و به مقررات هست. By observing all laws and regulations, we will be able to have a sound and healthy election at all times. And fortunately, the mechanism for holding elections in Iran, be it in presidential elections or parliamentary elections, and any other elections held in our country, it's in such a way that the possibility of organized and comprehensive disruption and irregularities in the elections, or this possibility is almost close to zero, given the presence of the observers of the candidates at the ballot boxes and also the composition and the of the people who are holding the election, who are from among people and representatives from observing organizations and various government official representatives. These nine people who are present at the ballot boxes, when you see them, these people are always present throughout the course of the election. They are always there at the ballot boxes. Therefore, you can see that it is very unlikely to see any displacement, disruption, or any vote rigging or irregularities. It reaches close to nothing. Of course, people in a free atmosphere, in a democratic election, in various junctures of time and periods of time, people may create some surprises. Some ambassadors told me that in the previous presidential election in Iran, their respective governments blamed them why they could not predict the result of the elections in Iran. I told some of these friends to be careful this time in their investigations and in their analyses. Millions of dollars every month is spent by your governments for your mission in Iran as their envoy, so they naturally expect you to come up with some realistic and accurate reports based on precise and accurate analysis of the developments in Iran and events on the ground in Iran to be reported to your respective countries. With this introduction, I would like now to make a mention of some approaches adopted by certain countries and some media and organization forums, their stances regarding this election. We think that democracy and freedom of choice, this has one certain definition only. We cannot divide democracy to first-class democracy and second-class democracy. We cannot divide it like that. Elections were held in Kenya, and all of a sudden we saw that there were certain issues in that country, and some individuals did not see into irregularities, did not. I don't want to enter details of the Kenya elections here, but what interested me the most was that the United Nations Secretary General appointed a special envoy, Mr. Kofi Annan, the former UN Secretary General. He appointed a special envoy. He went to Kenya, and there He probed, he had his discussions, and finally he presented a formula that was the winner or the loser. They will secure two seats of power alongside one another in Kenya. Regarding the respected president of Kenya and the respected prime minister of Kenya, who were competing one another in that election, I don't want to have any comments regarding those two people. We are friendly with that country. Iran and Kenya are friends. Our president visited Kenya a short while ago, and last month the prime minister of Kenya visited Tehran, and he also took part in a session on Africa Day. Mr. Kofi Annan, after this compromise, he made a trip to Tehran, and we met here. I told Mr. Kofi Annan, I told him that, is there going to be a new version of democracy in place? And he looked at me with surprise and asked me what I meant. I told him what we understand, our understanding of election means, referring to votes of the people, and that the one who secures who wins the majority of the votes, he will emerge as the victorious of the election. But in this case, in Kenya, you had both the winner and the loser, and you told them to assume power together, alongside one another. Regarding developing countries, my question is, will election have a different concept, different meaning? Will democracy assume a new definition in developing countries? Mr. Kofi Annan answered negatively, and he said he never meant that. A while later, after issues in Zimbabwe, I met Mr. Kofi Annan in Davos, Switzerland, the second time we met, and I told him, looks like that model has found a second shape in Zimbabwe, has assumed another shape. I'm raising this issue because unluckily, those who claimants of liberal democracy, the way they recognize democracy, that's the way they also define democracy. Of course, in some of the elections that were held, I have some examples of the threats made by some foreign ministers of some Western countries, the threats that they made, that they addressed those threats to the officials in those countries. They said, if you do not listen to what we want you to do, like in Zimbabwe, we will impose sanctions on you, we'll do this and that. And elsewhere, I will go into more detail regarding this issue later on. In the last decade, the first phenomenon that happened, there were, let's call it, colorful coup d'etats. That's what has happened, the first phenomenon. Or you can call this soft or non-violent toppling of systems. Today, with the advancement in technology, with all the advances in IT and information dissemination, nothing will be left behind doors. All the designs will be out there for everyone to see. What happened in Caucasia and in Central Asia, and also the events elsewhere, I think these events should be looked into by sociologists, lecturers, and the elite and thinkers. These should be all analyzed, in my opinion. The second point, which I mentioned, we saw some samples in Africa. They thought this could also cover, it could be generalized, it could be done everywhere else. If there is an election anywhere that is not to our favor, we don't favor it, then we can have some certain links and connections and with the emergence of complaints or unrest, which could be coupled with assassinations, street riots, and massacres. We could this way lead the current of events to a direction in which, if they put a step forward, there might be a mediator maybe found from somewhere, and that mediator could, in a way, try, now that they cannot reach all their demands, this way they can get part of what they wanted. This game has faded away, I think, is no more effective. The television station affiliated to the Pentagon that is always beating the drum of war, that TV channel cannot come and claim democracy, and some other forums as well. These, I think, for diplomats and respected ambassadors, they do not have anything. This is something independently, an independent comment from a developing country that should be considered by the respected ambassadors. Definitely the people who have their freedom and independence thanks to giving lives, they will not surrender to such games. Of course, in some countries there is a government which is set up through a coup d'etat. Government officials are appointed, now they're at odds. Maybe in those countries such moves can be effective, but in a country where hundreds of people put their lives on the lines, hundreds of thousands were martyred, some people were wounded, and we have the chemically handicapped people in this country, where 200 companies belonging to some countries where the representatives of whom are present here and some of them are absent in the session. It's been more than 20 years that these people have been suffering, and they have been living a very difficult life, and you can hear every now and then that one of them has lost his life, has achieved martyrdom. Such a nation will never give up the achievements of its revolution. It's not achieved very easily, so it cannot be sold, and they cannot let go of this so easily. The respected ambassadors, with some of whom I have been interacting for the last 20 years as a diplomat, and today as a foreign minister, I should tell you, respected ambassadors, please report to your governments that the highly cultured people of Iran, the people with a civilization of 7,000 years behind them, the people who think they have the affairs of their country in their own hands, in the last 30 years, they have witnessed numerous ups and downs. They have left them all behind. They have experienced and they have gone through lots of problems, and they have solved and tackled those problems. This people has learned how to move in line with its national interests, with its security. We know how to deal with the issues and how to tackle them. And you will definitely witness that some of the 10th presidential election in Iran, in a measure adopted by family members, let's call it, with the mechanisms stemming from our own people and our religious beliefs, this issue will also be dealt with soon. I should also express regret. At the same time, I should condemn some approaches and attitudes that are not befitting of the dignity of certain countries. In interactions with France, unfortunately, they did not depict a desirable curve. France, for its support and for the separatist groups active there, the Kurds in 1980s, the Kurds in separatist Kurdish groups in Turkey. We know France with these. Ms. Mitterrand encouraged some separatist groups in this region and invited them to parties. And Mr. Mitterrand, the husband, he actually put at their disposal fighter jets. He put at disposal of Saddam's regime these advanced fighter jets at that time. And France, unfortunately, does not have a good record in this condition. France, for sure, has a great nation. The people of France, as Charles de Gaulle says, there's a quotation, they say that French people do not like anybody to go to their help, but French people are now grappling with officials who are selling the French Renaissance these days. Sarkozy's France, to the last days of the Bush administration, always supported Bush's wrong policies, and today thereafter they're going to see how to adapt with the new administration and events in the U.S. Of course, the French ambassador is one of my colleagues. I should, on his behalf, ask at diplomatic forums and apologize for the comments which were discourteous. I should feel ashamed of these embarrassing comments instead of him and make an apology here. I believe that we believe that France still has some freedom-loving thinkers, and they have a highly respected and great people. And I'm definitely sure that the people of France are not satisfied with these treacherous and unjust approaches. I regret to say that I have to also complain about leaders in Germany. One day, Mr. Genscher, in the unification of Germany, when he had his fist in his room and moving his fist in the air in his room, he said that finally we made it. But today, without any reasoning, they were members of the Communist Party. They are now intimidated by the leaders of the Zionist regime to an extent that for the last 60 years they have held the German people hostage, and he is repeating, he is echoing the Zionist words regarding Iran. I have to mention another axis, which is a pivotal access also, and the last one in this connection, I have to mention that here, and that is Britain with the record, a tangible record, in at a time, at a period of more than 150 years. Our people recognition of the UK, Mr. Miliband in his own personal weblog had his comments, and our people realize that. We think that Britain should forget this statement that was made, the statement that said, the sun will not shine unless it will shine on their territory, and the sun will not set unless it sets on their territory. They should forget about this statement. Today, almost all thinkers, all youths, especially the people in the Middle East, they recognize Britain as the main factor for creating the infamous Zionist entity in the occupied lands of Palestinians. The Balfour Declaration, British politicians imposed this Balfour Declaration at a time when another politician in that country said, as long as this book, he was referring to the Holy Quran, the Holy Book, Heavenly Book of the Muslims, he said, as long as this book and that house, he meant the house of God, as long as these two dominate in the world of Islam, we won't be able to see our objectives in that area fulfilled. Britain in our country has helped start the illegitimate outcome of the Zionism, which is the Baha'i sect. It's not a faith, it's a political group affiliated to the Zionist regime. It's not a faith. You can see Britain in Herat, in the course of history, in Herat, Afghanistan, and all the treacherous plots and schemes that they had, and they put them into operation in that country. You can see Britain in the south of Iran, in Bushehr city, in the course of history, and the resistance, the brave resistance of Tangistan, Iranian citizens against them. You see Britain in the United Arab Emirates, and you see how they cultivate the seeds of plotting and creating division. Everywhere they have been, in Africa, in the Indian subcontinent, they have always designed, they have their own sinister designs. We see Britain in the nationalization of Iranian oil industry. It should be very interesting for you to see that the people of Iran decided to nationalize its oil industry. Britain, as a member of the Security Council, they file a complaint to the council why the Iranian people nationalize its oil. And more interesting is the fact that this move of Iran created, this was considered as a threat to international peace and security. In relations between world leaders, Britain always created problems. In Iran, it has a precedence of 150 years during Fateh Ali Shah, when the Iran-France relations were moving
پیشرفت و
toward progress, and they were facing more cooperation. Britain started this circle and started trying to sabotage the relations between Iran and France at that juncture of history. Of course, in this connection, Iran and France interactions, we have more examples to cite. Britain had a key role in bringing the U.S. to Iraq without getting a permit from the UN Security Council, without authorization, at a time when all other security members opposed taking troops, American troops to Iraq. In Iraq's Basra, Britain got its forces stationed there, and one of the reasons for insecurity was actually the British commanders, separatist groups and terrorist groups in the south of Iran. They went to Iraq's Basra and they underwent training by British commanders in order to do bombings, and they came back to Iran to do bombings and embark on terrorist activities. With the uprising of the people in the south of Iraq, when the British were cornered and they took most of their troops from most parts of Iraq and they took them to Afghanistan, we saw both in Basra and consequently in the south of Iran, the cases and the dossiers of those sporadic terrorist activities were closed and came to an end that way.
Britain
brought America to Iraq, left America there, and then Britain itself removed its forces from that country. Britain is responsible for fighting drug smuggling in Afghanistan. When this responsibility was shouldered by Britain, opium production declined to less than 1,000 tons in Afghanistan. Last year, the production rose to as much as 9,000 tons. Britain never explained why there has been such a big, dramatic rise in Afghanistan opium production. Regarding the nuclear program of Iran, Britain was embarking on lots of false fabrications and lies. They leveled accusations against the Islamic Republic. Even the roadmap that the British negotiator, who is now the British envoy at the United Nations, when that roadmap fell from his pocket, it fell down, it showed how they had designed, what they had designed for the 5+1 in military intervention in Iran and Iran's nuclear story. Today, too, Britain is designing, is planning for America. After Mr. Obama came to office, to date, 350 lectures and conferences, seminars and gatherings held at different, at various universities in the United States. More than 350 such forums have been conducted by British lecturers and professors, or those who are related to them, with an aim of actually depicting the road and offering goals and objectives to Mr. Obama. And it's interesting to know that part of these inculcations regarding it relates to relations of Iran and America. You can see among what the British officials say, you can see their schemes and designs regarding Iran-U.S. relations. Well, there are many cases. I cannot mention them all here. I will only mention the last one, and it's Britain and the latest elections in Iran. In three media levels, intelligence level and official diplomatic levels, Britain since long ago, it targeted the elections in Iran. Since 2 years ago, they had inculcated the idea that if we, it's more than 2 years ago, if they said if we take the UN dossier to the Security Council, the situation will be disrupted in Iran. If we issue a resolution, Iran's economy will be paralyzed. And all that roadmap story that I just mentioned. But they reached no conclusion. They didn't get anywhere. In the recent election, was the first line of actually sanctions. They didn't want anyone to go to the ballot boxes. This was what the British media line pursued together with America and some other countries. They didn't want anyone to go to the polls. But the information they got from different strata of society, they indicated an eye-catching participation in the election. Therefore, one or 2 months before the presidential election was held, we witnessed some newcomers, some passengers from Britain to the Islamic Republic of Iran. The ordinary small flights conducted routine flights between Tehran and London, they were not enough to carry these passengers in this new scheme. In the final weeks before the election, given the large number of passengers, Tehran-London flight turned to a Jumbo Jet 747. And certain people with certain plans traveled to Iran from Britain. They were elements affiliated to the intelligence apparatus of Britain. They wanted to come here to see, to have certain effects. Regarding the media issue and also the interfering remarks of the British officials regarding the Iran election. I don't want to touch upon those issues now. Our friends can see for themselves, they're observing all the events. One important task among diplomats is to compile data and information and news about world events. We're really sorry to see that the government of Britain did not gain experience and learn that such measures will bring more hatred from nations toward the policies of that country in the world. Once again, I would like to thank our friends who accepted our invitation and attended this meeting today. Our people are dignified. They have a high culture. They have profound beliefs. And they will go through all, remove the debt with the blessing of logical and enlightening, comprehensive, fatherly advice that the leader of the Islamic revolution is offering, and with through the vigilance of our politicians, who in a very transparent competition ran the presidents, the belong people who will lead, think about some country in military range, in challenge of fears, ideological individual should have that part. We a world with generations benefit from talents, their potential, and they benefit all. And wish, and we hope, deep and based on this, will bring advantages and interests. I would like to thank all our friends again for being this
in Foreign Minister Mwataki speaking to diplomats and missionaries in the council. Some words there for them and their respective countries. First of all, he started by speaking of the huge turnout of voters on election day more than a week ago in Tehran. He said the reason for such a turnout, for its high incident, which is made much to the that foreign diplomat a week long, the whole structure is such that makes the possibility of any irregularity or voter or any kind of election fraud. The two examples, and somehow expressed surprise for the democracy, meant was of the elected and the opposition, quote, election fallout countries, specifically France, Germany, Britain and the US, for their inappropriate, interfering words about Iran, founder of the political party wing of the Zionist Insights Violence. He Britain for Iran's nationalizing its oil industry, calling it an irresponsible move. Britain again for going the United States to Iraq and Afghanistan and creating violence there, smuggling in the court highs, unexplained by Britain, he added. The foreign minister also said Britain was behind the many lies made against Iran's nuclear program and for instigating Mr. Barack Obama, the US president, against the Islamic Republic. The foreign minister was very critical again of Britain for their interference in Iran's elections, mentioning an inflation intelligence officials of the elections. Of course, at the end, he once again thanked the Iranian people for their huge turnout and participation in the presidential elections and said Iran has always embarked on dialogue and not the military option with other nations around the world. Anyway, that was some words there by Iranian Foreign Minister Manajam Mortaki, speaking to foreign diplomats and missionaries in the capital, Tehran. Our programs are in progress and Press TV. Stay tuned.
Most Americans knew next to nothing about the consequences of our policies in that part of the world. You could say the same thing.